May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the second sermon in our series of looking at Matthew's nativity narratives, but in reverse. Last week we heard about the slaughter of the innocents. Today we hear about the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt and then eventually returning to Nazareth. I will speak for a while, then we will be looking at two images which Georgia Molt will be saying some words about, and then I will conclude. Joseph, and in Matthew's Gospel, the main focus in the Holy Family is on Joseph. Joseph dreamed twice. The first time he dreamed, he was about to break off his engagement to Mary. The second time he dreamed is after the Magi have departed, following their visit to Bethlehem. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So it seems that both times that Joseph dreamed, the result was in a particular care of Mary and Jesus. Following his first dream, he chose to take Mary as his wife, rather than discarding her. And also, in the dream, he was instructed to call the child Jesus, which he did. Following the second dream, Joseph ensures the safety of Mary and Jesus by taking them to Egypt. So if we take the example of Joseph about a time when a man dreams, it results in taking responsibility in caring for the people in their lives, ensuring their safety, sticking with them through thick and thin. It seems as even though Jesus has been conceived by God's Holy Spirit, God still needs Joseph. In Matthew's Gospel, therefore, Joseph is not incidental to the story. He's not the man in the background, but right at the heart of the matter. And however we choose to imagine God communicating with Joseph, and in the Gospel it's described as being through a message from an angel in a dream, Joseph is prompted to take clear and definite action as a result. Marrying Mary, not discarding her, naming the child, taking the family into Egypt, recognizing the danger and threat, and using modern parlance, safeguarding his family. Joseph is not found wanting. So we're going to look now at two images of the Holy Family's flight into Egypt. And I'd like to invite Georgia to come forward.
So just like the two images from last week, these two paintings, they show the same scene in very different ways, and they both reflect the cultures and societies that produce them. The first painting that we've got on the screen at the moment is by a Chinese-born artist who currently lives in the USA. Now, I didn't know anything about him, but a little research shows that he paints mostly religious scenes. And one thing I noticed when looking at his work is that he almost always includes this representation of the Holy Spirit, like you can see in this painting. And I think it's quite unusual to see that in a nativity scene. The stripped back kind of style of the painting makes it easily identifiable. It's reduced to just its most important elements to tell the story. The blue clothing and the donkey signify Mary. The huge pyramid clearly signifies Egypt. We know that being a Christian in China, as in many other places, has been and still often is very dangerous. So when I look at this image of a faithful family who are in exile, but still guided by the Holy Spirit, I think it represents the story of the artist's experience as a Christian. Throughout their long journey, the Holy Spirit remains literally at the centre of this family, guiding them to safer shores. That message of faith and guidance in dangerous times and through difficult journeys is as simple as the style of the painting. And the second painting is part of an altarpiece by a 15th century Florentine artist. And it was produced by a culture very different because it was a culture in which not being a Christian would have been almost unheard of. And Europeans at this time viewed almost everything through the lens of their faith. And yet, just like many Christians around the world, or the Holy Family on their journey into Egypt, they would have lived in dangerous times. At this time, Italy was made up of a series of small, independent city-states, and each was protected by strong city walls, because rivalries led to regular fighting. In this painting, you can see the family on the road between two such walled cities. I think contemporary viewers would have been only too aware of the risks posed by a long journey between cities, especially with a baby to care for. I think it's a fantastic way of making real for viewers the risk that the family undertook when they set out to Egypt. It's very easy to read the few short words about it in Matthew's Gospel without really thinking about what it would have meant. But these two paintings, in different ways, illustrate that journey much more fully, and they make explicit to the viewer how significant it is that this family would have risked all that they had on this long and dangerous journey just to protect their child.
Thank you, Georgia. So why did they go to Egypt? Well, as you know, it's quite a popular holiday destination, and I suspect that there's some people here who've been to Egypt on holiday. Anyone been to Egypt on holiday? No. A few people, not lots. I've never been. But Egypt was, as I said, popular holiday destination. There's the pyramids, trips down the Nile, all those amazing temples, and the holiday resort in Sharm el-Sheikh. And in their day, they would have even been able to visit the library in Alexandria. Now, the problem for Joseph is he booked his exile with Thomas Cook. And they didn't get to visit any of those places, as far as I know. Instead, they got the Jeremiah tour. In the Old Testament, Egypt was the place to go to when people fled from Jerusalem, from Israel, into exile. The remains of the population in Jerusalem, including the prophet Jeremiah, went to Egypt after the mass relocation of most Hebrews to Babylon, a time that is referred to as the exile. It was the obvious place to go for safety. Even as Georgia said, the journey would not have been safe. Also, for Matthew, the importance of fulfilling Old Testament prophecy in his gospel is crucial in justifying and giving credibility to his narrative of the Nativity. And he quotes a prophet saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." So how could that prophecy be fulfilled unless Jesus went to Egypt? So I'm going to finish off with some questions, really, that came to my mind, for which I don't necessarily have all the answers. And so I'm going to throw them out there and let you reflect on them. Firstly, Joseph is communicated with God by dreams in the gospel. Does God communicate through dreams? How do we understand that? Also, I liked the idea of Joseph having a conversation with the Magi, who would have raised concern over the trustworthiness of Herod. And so maybe rather than having a mystical dream, which still maybe have happened, but maybe those concerns percolated into his brain. And as you know, when we go through, dreaming is part of our processing of the events of the day, the week, the year. So maybe his brain processed this information in his sleep and came to the conclusion that it may not be safe to remain in Bethlehem. Or maybe God just communicated to him by an angel through a dream. The other thing that happens is Joseph stepped up. But all of us are clearly aware of times and situations when men have not stepped up to meet their responsibilities. How does that make us feel? How do we support and encourage men to listen to God in their lives? Then we have the plight of the Holy Family in flight. Refugees, exiles, asylum seekers. There's lots of different tags that we can give them. Does this help us resonate with families who have had to flee from war zones, from poverty, from political violence? And we see in Matthew's gospel that God communicates with Joseph and the family and they flee. And yet, as we discovered last week, all those other families are left behind and their children. And all those under the age of 2 were slaughtered. So a question to think about is, when do families in communities that are under attack make the decision to leave or to stay? Back in the 1980s, there was a terrorist group called Sendero Luminoso in Peru. And up in the Andean communities, these villages came under threat from both government forces and Sendero Luminoso. And many of them escaped to Lima to live in shanty towns to get away from the violence and the threat. But when they returned in more peaceful times, they were scorned by the families who chose to remain. What would have been the response of the families who remained in Bethlehem to the Holy Family who returned relatively safe and sound? At what point does a family in Syria choose to leave the devastated war-struck cities and go to refugee camps and make the journey to another country? At what point do families choose to take the perilous journey across the Mediterranean from North Africa to southern Europe? At what point did a Jewish family choose to stay in Nazi Germany or to get out if they could? We know at what point this one particular Jewish family made the decision to escape the oncoming flood of violence. That families all over the world are left with these crucial decisions every day. To quote The Clash, "Should I stay or should I go now?" Joseph, prompted by God, chose to go and returned. Next week, we will hear about the events before this crucial decision, when the Magi came with gifts and adoration.